Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Lifetime Christmas movies.
I'm Patrick Serrano, and I am a Lifetime movie expert.
I'm Dan, and I despise Lifetime Christmas movies, and this is the
Deck the Lifetime Encore podcast! Yeah. Hello, everybody.
I know I'm getting old. Is this little, we just ate lunch. Yeah. This little shimmy right here made my stomach kind of feel uncomfortable. So it's time to call it. It's time to call it a day.
But you looked great.
In lieu of flowers, send a donation to the ASPCA in my honor.
There you go.
You're supposed to wait 15 minutes before you get back in the pool, guys.
That's right. Bring you back. Man, I've heard so many. What was it for you? Did you ever have that rule growing up?
We didn't go to the pool, but I've heard your rule.
An hour and a half. My parents used to say an hour and a half. Oh, wow.
And like, I used to be a lifeguard, I'm on board with your parents. Like, keep the kids out of the pool. I don't want to watch them.
There was a time in our childhood, Patrick's my age, where there was a legitimate thought that in that first half hour, something with your stomach swimming could kill you.
There's a chance you might spontaneously combust.
That's right.
Is what I understand.
It was, I mean, you thought we were technologically advanced enough in the 1980s, but no. You could die. And so my parents were like, triple it just in case. Hour and a half.
Just be cautious. Hey, you know, I appreciate that. That's good parenting, you know, caution.
And I'm still alive. So, you know, to be fair.
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief.
Your tan that summer was great.
That's right. My tan was unbelievable.
So good. Do you have any crazy lifeguard stories, Patrick?
Oh, lots of them. I mean, being a lifeguard and being a Lifetime fan, it intersects well, you know? none that I'm going to say on the podcast right now. I'll save that for my lifeguarding podcast. But yeah, let's just say it was a time. Lifeguarding the court.
Yeah, I love that. That's a weird thing to
have that much responsibility. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, you're there drinking wine, talking about lifeguarding. Why the heck not? It is Christmas in July. It's the final Wednesday of July, and so we thought, what better way to close this sucker out than with a Deck the Lifetime Uncorked of a classic Lifetime Christmas movie that we've not discussed before. But before we do, Patrick, big news is you're coming down to Greenville for Bramblefest.
I am. I'm so excited. When you said big news, I'm like, oh my gosh, am I getting the Good Morning America spot? I am coming to Bramblefest. I'm so excited. People are asking me if they can hug me, and I'm like, sure, I guess. I mean, like, are you a hugger? I'm like, I wouldn't describe myself as a hugger, but I will hug you if you want a hug. You know what I'm saying?
Fair. That's a fair answer to that question.
I appreciate people asking. I do.
Bran's not a hugger.
I'm not a hugger. Yeah. But I'm also like, but it puts me in a weird spot.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, I would rather just, like, let's just do this thing. Like, don't ask me. Uh-huh. Like, because then I'm forced. Do I be honest with you? Like, that I don't actually really want a hug? Or do I just do it anyway? And then I feel like it adds an extra layer
never thought of, like, I've always thought of myself as just like indifferent on the issue, kind of like Patrick, but hearing the two of you, maybe I'm a hugger.
Yeah. Okay.
Just because I don't have any, I'm fine. Like when I see somebody I haven't seen in a while, I definitely want to give them a hug.
So, but here's the thing. I don't mind. I don't mind. Of all the touching, I don't mind the hugs. So here I mean, like, I don't like when people like rub my back.
Well, yeah, no, I think I don't like that.
I can do a hug. You know, some people
don't,
like,
listen, gang, don't randomly go up to Brandon and massage his shoulders. He thinks that's weird.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that not a hot take?
That is. I would hope that we're all on the same page there, right?
I would say that I am by and large okay with hugs, but when you ask the question, it does make me wonder.
Like, I got you.
It makes me wonder, right. Like, is there an alternative motive here?
Well, it's COVID times.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, I think.
I'd rather hug than handshake, to be honest. A handshake is just so awkward and like formal that I'm not into it. Even in a work setting, I'll be like, namaste, you know. Kind of a handshake.
So, you know, what about the handshake that becomes a hug? I do that from time to time where I'm like, bring it in. I grab him by the, and I bring him in for a hug.
Yes. I will take a full hug. Just skip the handshake. Otherwise, you'll get the namaste from me.
Okay.
If you go for the hand, you get the namaste.
Namaste.
Dude, you're going to be getting so many handshakes at Bramble Fest there's going to be a lot of that. But when I see Patrick, when he gets off the old plane, I'm going to give him a hug.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so excited. Wait, are you meeting me at the airport? Is that a thing?
I will probably be picking you up.
Someone will pick you up at the airport.
Alonzo, Jax, and Patrick. I'll pick. You'll probably get to ride with me. Patrick.
He'll wear a hat.
I will not wear a hat.
Wow. He'll wear a little hat. Yeah, he's gonna wear.
This is so exciting. I can't. I don't even know what I'm signing myself up for, to be honest. So I'm just gonna be there and do whatever you guys tell me, and it's gonna be really fun.
We do have a live Deck the Lights from Uncorked on the schedule.
We do right now. So we do. So that would be a lot of fun.
This the three of us just doing it. That's live right.
My fear is that it's going to be like Melissa Joan Hart when you guys tell me Melissa Joan Hart was at the thing and no one came.
Yeah.
Am I
going to be Melissa Joan Hart of this Bramble Fest, you know?
There's only like 100 people that we let come to this thing. Like, it's not like a droves of people. And so people are going to be excited to see you. One, two, it's a very small get together, which makes it a lot of fun. And three, there's like karaoke and a bar and stuff. Like, it's great. Oh, yeah. I love karaoke. I mean, come on. You're going to fit right in. You're going to be happy that you're there.
I'm going to sing Jesus Take the Wheel. You heard it here first.
Wow. I love it. Wow. Have you been to Greenville before?
Never ever. Wow. So I'm so excited.
This is big.
It's a little less windy from what I gather.
A little less windy. A little warmer. Yeah.
A little warmer.
You're coming at peak time, late August in Greenville.
That's when the weather's real primo.
Oof, boy.
What morons planned this event?
God.
Who was like, let's do August?
Well, you know, it's a tough spot to be in, Bran. I don't know if you know. We went through all this rigmarole. I don't ever want to do it in August again, but that's where we landed. So we're doing it.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So back to that Good Morning America opening.
With Panda leaving, we have not addressed the issue with Good Morning America.
I'm just putting name in the hat that I would like to do that.
You want to move down to Greenville and just hang out with us all the time, Patrick? Come on.
Yeah. I'll be a hologram. I'll be a real person. I'll be whatever. I'll do anything.
I'll be a hologram. I'll be a real person. That's the spirit. Let's talk about The Flight Before Christmas. This is from 2015, but I've heard about this movie a good bit since then, rumblings of it over the past few years. Is this considered to be a classic?
So when you asked me to find like a Lifetime movie from the past, I was like, there's not many classics, as it were. You know, most of the classics that I'm thinking of are from ABC Family. So I'm like, ABC Family really did it back in the day. And Lifetime was kind of like chasing their tail. And then they switched gears and went to Hallmark. So this is a good example, I think, of what a Lifetime movie is like, being specifically Lifetime. You know what I mean? Like, it's not trying to be like Hallmark. It's not trying to be like anybody else. It's just like very... Everybody in this world is a little jaded, you know, it's a travel movie. So they're not like happy to be traveling. They're like annoyed and rude and like real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. Exactly. Let's dive into it and help Dan understand exactly what we're talking about.
I would love for that to happen.
Patrick, take it away, buddy.
So, my gosh.
Here we go.
Wait for it. There it is.
I wasn't ready. I thought we were going to banter more. No, we're good. We're good. So the movie starts off. We are in LA. Play Christmas, you know, because Lifetime doesn't have the snow budget. Right. Decorated palm trees. We got a little like Christmas music that you know, like I forget what it was. It was like I don't even know, but it was some song that I'm like, this song.
Anytime a Christmas movie starts in LA, you know you're gonna end up meeting somebody that you're gonna hate, and I think that's just that's usually what happens. Is nobody starts a Christmas movie in LA without the person being from LA also being a monster.
Yeah,
and I think that's just par for the course here, and it is true in this movie.
Well, right. So we immediately meet. I didn't say who the movie starts. The movie starts. Mayim Bialik? Mayim Bialik?
Yeah, Bialik, yes.
Bialik from Blossom or Big Bang Theory?
Jeopardy?
I don't know.
Big Bang Theory, yeah. Yeah, those
she's
two.
All over the place. We know her.
Jeopardy. She's the new Jeopardy host. Jeopardy host. Yeah, yeah. I knew host. I knew that yeah. name. Didn't know her face, but I knew the name.
Yeah, you're too young for Blossom, but it was a big thing back in the day.
Yes, big. It was.
All right, okay.
Big thing. Ryan McPartlin. Ryan McPartlin. Yeah, hunky he's been man.
On, Hallmark, hasn't he?
I don't know. He was very hunky, and I will say, if you squinted, he looked a skosh like Tom Brady. If you squint, just a skosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
High praise. Yeah.
And then we also have TV veterans, Reginald Val Johnson and Marie Payton from Family Matters.
Harriet and Uncle Carl are married in this movie?
Yeah. I know you're having a really hard time with this. You're stumbling over it. But yeah, you're getting it.
Crossover event. Crossover event, you know? This is what happens to the Winslows after...
I can't believe what's I didn't so great get asked is, to watch this movie.
I know, I'm sorry. So I didn't realize it either.
That stings.
I didn't realize it either. I didn't realize until it happened. So Harriet's on screen at one point, and I'm like, hey, it's Harriet. And then Carl comes walking out. I'm like, it's Carl. It's like, what's that the gif of what's his name?
Spider-Man?
Yeah, no. Hollywood good. Movie.
Once Upon a Time. Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah.
That guy. That gif. You guys know what I'm
talking about. I can't believe this is happening.
Well, and another great example of Lifetime, what makes a Lifetime movie is they're not afraid to do stunt casting. They'll stunt cast till the day they die. And that's what makes it so great.
Did this stunt cast serve a purpose? No. But it happened.
Is
and
it
I think
better
that's...
than when Darius McCrary and Kelly Shinney Williams were in Christmas in Carolina together?
It is. That, I think, served more of a purpose.
Wow.
This was like very much like, I don't know. It was so random. See, and like
it's
they
a rare
weren't
conditioned this day. And
yeah,
age,
they weren't on screen a ton, like a decent amount, but not a ton. So, but they did it. They were there. Anyway, continue.
Yes. So we meet our protagonist, whose name is Stephanie, but I will call her Blossom for the rest of this recap here.
Fair.
And Blossom is shopping with her friend, and she gets a call from her mom from Connecticut. And you're like, Christmas in Connecticut. Got it. Great. There's a twist. She's pulling out cookies from the oven, and there's Christmas cookies and... excuse me. Oh, my gosh.
Are you okay?
I have like a frog in my throat.
You didn't get some wine? Like you're drinking coffee. I don't like
coffee.
This.
I mean, it's 12 o'clock somewhere, right?
You said it, buddy.
Okay. Yes. So she pulls out the cookies. We got Christmas and Hanukkah cookies.
Oh, obviously, I see what's going on here.
Malia Blalock is Jewish.
Yeah, just stick with Blossom, I think. Blossom. It's not Malia Blalock.
I don't know. But if you think of like a Jewish actress, like she's like number one, right? After like she played young Bette Midler in Beaches. I mean, come on.
I mean,
I am gonna respectfully bow out of this discussion.
All right. After yesterday's Griddler on the Roof, you're like, well, let me just take a break.
Yeah, you're right. Fair. So, but basically, we have some representation of Jewish people in a Christmas movie, which is like way before
2015. Are you kidding?
Conversation.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we love that. The mother is like really upset that her daughter's not coming home for the holidays, and she's like, I really want to meet your new boyfriend, Brian. And she's a Jewish mother, so she can guilt trip like nobody's business. And she really lays it on thick, like, I'll be dying soon. Like, my eyesight's starting to go. Like, she really pulls all the stops. But that doesn't happen because Brian, of course, breaks up with Blossom right in the next scene.
Yeah. From what I gather, they were supposed to move in with each other.
Wow.
And instead of moving in with each other, he said, I will be moving out of your life permanently.
Wow.
So things didn't go exactly according to plan for Blossom.
Stings.
Or Malik Blau.
Yeah. And Blossom is like so upset because she's like, I already like subleased my apartment. Like I'm essentially homeless at this point. So I guess I'll go home for the holidays because I have nowhere to live.
Right. Yeah. That's the obvious next choice, is to do a cross country trip.
Yeah.
And course, use the money you could use for a place on travel.
Yes. And so she's booking her flight or whatever. And it's like a weird thing where she can't find a flight. And then all of a sudden a magic up, you know, and she's like, that's weird. And she clicks it. And, we also, at the same time she's shopping at the mall earlier, there's a guy and his name's Michael, and he's looking at engagement rings. Like, she passes the shop and like, he's looking at engagement rings inside for his long distance girlfriend, Courtney, who seems to only be interested in him because he does what she says, pretty much.
Mm. Yeah. Like, it's a weird girl. Yeah, it's weird because Tom Brady has been like, he lives in LA. It's for his job. And, but he's done this long distance thing and he keeps going back and forth from LA to Boston? East Coast.
Matter. Sure.
To somewhere. East Coast, like on a regular basis. And, but he's like, he says she will never move out here unless, you know, there's a proposal. So I guess he's hoping now that he's going to put a ring on that he had, like,
yeah, proposed.
It's
yeah.
less about love and more about, I'm just sick of doing the travel, basically. So yeah. That's Tom for you.
So, yeah. So basically he is also taking a flight to go see his girlfriend, and Blossom and Michael end up at the same airport together. LAX, of course, you know, famous, terrible airport. If you've ever been, it's one of the worst. And there's a man, like, there's a Santa, like a Salvation Army Santa with the bell. And then there's a like man that looks like Santa behind that man. And he's like looking at Blossom like, hey, hey. And she like drops her ticket or something. And he like picks it up and she's like, oh, thank you. And he's like, you're welcome. Really giving us Santa magic vibes.
And in case like it wasn't like subtle enough, there's like chimes in the background, like Godwing chimes. Like it's pretty clear that this is the real deal.
Real big guy.
Yeah. And so she gets to like the flight attendant station and she like can't find the ticket, and then it magically appears and she's like, this isn't the flight I was on, or this isn't the seat. And she's like, I'm upgraded or whatever. Like, you know, she's very excited that she's like,
the Santa upgraded her.
Santa upgrade.
Yeah,
classic basically. Santa upgrade.
And then they're boarding the flight, and Santa, of course, the guy, the Michael guy, he gets on the plane and is in first class, and that really bothers Blossom because he like cuts in front of her in line, and like, you know, they're like, ugh, I hate each other type of thing.
They're very like not nice to each other, like right out of the game. They are very rude, both of them. It's a mutual rude. It's a mutual rude.
So rude. And that's what I love about this, is that at the airport, if someone cut me in line, I would be like, excuse me, there's a line behind me. Okay.
That sounds kinder than what I'm imagining there being in the movie, though.
Oh, right. Yeah. She like curses him out and like drops him.
Would you actually say
something, Patrick? For some reason, I just picture you just kind of being like, okay, whatever.
It depends on my mood, I guess. If I'm not in a hurry, I wouldn't care. But if, like, you know, there's a pregnant woman in front of me and like I'm fending like all our honor, I will speak up for the line.
Okay, sure. So in the very specific case where there's a pregnant woman in front of you and you're trying to help that person out, then yes.
So imagine a world where all the people you would never like cut, like pregnant woman, like a veteran, you know, like all these people at that point, then who would actually cut in front of that line, though?
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Right. Like a bad person. Just, so then I...
Yeah, deserve it. I'm with Patrick on this one.
Yeah. But if it's just me and a bunch of nobodies, then, you know, cut away.
Cut away.
Right. Well, and I mean, I probably cut a line unknowingly before. So you got to give them, like, maybe they're just dumb and they don't realize what's happening. And then they'll be like, oh, this is a line.
We've come full circle from, I would absolutely to be
so
like,
you know what? I've probably done it myself.
Maybe, you know.
You're right. okay, so Santa can find a seat on the plane and he's like, I don't know what to do. And then the handsome man gives up his seat so Santa can sit there and goes to sit in Santa's seat in the back, which is next to Blossom, of course. Mm. And they're like really mean to each other. She's like, oh, you gave up your first class ticket, you must be so cool. And he's like, whatever. And she's like on the phone, like yelling at her boyfriend, and like, it's just not good, you know?
They're just not kind at all. This entire time, neither of them are kind to each other.
And I thought her boyfriend broke up with her.
Yeah, no, this is not her boyfriend.
She's on the phone with the boyfriend, being like, you're ruining my life and I hate you, you know?
Yeah, just like kind of finalizing the separation.
Got it. Just some paperwork.
I'm gonna send over some paperwork. Expect that later. You're dead to me.
Of course.
Standard proceeding.
Yeah.
Of course. But they hit some turbulence, and we get the accidental hand grab, which you know, love that. And he's like, "Don't worry, I fly all the time. It's not that big of a deal." And then it like really goes crazy, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, it's going down. We're going down."
Going down for real, yeah.
So they're diverted to Montana. And the flight alternatives aren't great. Like, the airport's packed. It's a holiday travel. And Michael and Blossom are stuck in this small town. And they spend the night in the airport trying to, like, figure out travel arrangements and avoiding one another. But that damn Santa is back again. He gives Blossom a number for this inn. He's like, "Oh, my friends own an inn in town. You should stay there." And so Blossom calls. She gets like the honeymoon suite, and she feels bad for Michael. And she says, "You know what? Do you want to come with me? Because I feel bad that we were fighting on the plane and we almost died. And, you know, you should have a nice place to sleep for the night."
Yeah, so something happens that, you know, helps her heart grow a little bit. And so she extends an olive branch,
Do they play it like it's magical?
I think there's some magic afoot. I think there's some magic afoot. Because he's going to be sleeping there on the chairs. They say that it's going to be at least until tomorrow night. So they got a full day and then another day until the flights are going to take off again. So big snowstorm, big fun, big honeymoon suite.
Who's playing Santa? Who's the actor?
I don't know who Santa is, but he's doing a swell job.
He's good. But I think it's really Santa.
Yeah.
Okay. Santa is playing Santa.
Good note. That would be, if I was making a movie, that would be how I would, at the beginning of the movie where we do the things.
And playing himself as Santa.
Yeah, that's exactly Santa. Right. Yeah, I like that.
It should be every movie. Like, it's just Santa. You know?
It should be the Hollywood way. But this is where we meet the Winslows that are they're running the inn.
Oh, they run the inn.
Small little town in Montana. Yes.
The Winslows.
Yes, the Winslows.
There you have it.
Yes.
Well, right. And don't worry, because this gets explained later that they aren't from Montana. They moved from the city because they gave up their life, and Urkel was so annoying. So they had to move to Montana and open an inn, you know.
Yes. Yeah. No, more than fair. They are very committed as well. So this town in Montana has a big Christmas Eve dance every year.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And their whole life at this point right now is to, they're trying to win the dance competition.
Dance off? What?
There's a couple that has won every year since Jesus. And they're trying to finally win. And so we see them a couple times practicing their...
Are there judges?
I don't know. We don't understand really the logistics. But just know that the Winslows are very committed to winning the Christmas Eve country dance-off.
It's not like a dance-off where like you're competing for the best moves. It's endurance. So who can last the longest?
It's a marathon. It's a long boy. Yeah, that's exactly
that would have helped a lot, Brian.
Yeah.
You said a dance-off.
It's a dance-off.
It's not a dance-off.
Well, once you're done, you get off.
Yes.
It's a dance.
It's a Golden Girls episode. There's a whole Golden Girls episode about it. So, So the next day, they stay at the hotel. It's fine. The next day, Blossom is like in the shower getting ready. She comes out in her robe and she's like, "Don't look at me." And then he goes in the shower and he's like naked and wet and walking around in a towel. And he's like, "Yeah, my body's great." And she's like, "Yeah, it is actually pretty."
Can I just say how uncomfortable that scene was? Because she very clearly was uncomfortable with the arrangement really to begin with, even though she invited him, but like he opens up the bathroom door, cause he's got to go tinkle tinkle. And she's like in a robe, but she's clearly very like, oh gosh, no. And then he comes walking out after a shower, shirt off, just strutting and stuff. Like my guy, he had to know what he was doing, right? He had to know what he was doing. This wasn't like a, so all guys had their shirts off all the time. That's how I understood it. No, this was a play, right?
Well, if you're watching the movie for, reality, but this is Lifetime. We're here for the hunks. So
yeah, we're here for the hunks.
I'm like, it's hunk time. I'm ready. In my brain, I like went catatonic and I just like was there just looking at his bod.
I will say better bod than I expected. Better bod than I expected.
Better bod than expected. Yeah. Okay.
Well, because he's wearing like dress clothes like most of the time. And like that's hard to gauge, It's hard to gauge what's underneath that tie. You know what I mean?
Totally. And like Lifetime's not afraid to be a little horny,
never. That's their motto.
Not afraid to be a little horny.
Yes.
Just a little bit.
Just a skosh.
So they go get food. The meal is flapjacks with hot chocolate and marshmallows because they're on vacation.
That's right.
And they walk around town doing like holiday cheer things. There's like a fair and carnival games. And it's basically a catalyst for them to talk about their childhood and like growing up in LA and the work-life balance and all that stuff,
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And they stop at a jewelry store. And he mentions like buying rings for Carolyn, but he also is like long distance relationships suck, and like I don't really like being in one.
Yeah, which as you do.
Blossom's like, okay, well, why are you in one then?
That's right. If you don't like this relationship and you never enjoy talking to your girlfriend, why are you trying to buy a ring? Why are you trying to propose? And you're speaking some. The hard truth, I think, in this moment.
Well, only like you could to a stranger, right? Like, they just met each other. So if I were to say that to, like, my best friend, they'd be like, what the hell? But, if it's just some random person, like, it seems like this is not good.
Right. Because
they're not going to take it personally. They don't even know you.
Don't even know you.
Yeah. They could take it personally, but,
So another storm rolls into town and they're trapped there for another night, which means they get to stay for the dance off or the dance marathon. And we don't actually stay at the dance-a-thon very long because no one cares about who wins, I guess. We don't know who wins. Like a Hallmark movie would have stayed there.
The same couple's been winning every year, Bran.
Yeah.
So we don't ever find out who wins?
We find out who wins.
Okay. Good.
We do find out
maybe
who wins.
Maybe I missed it.
Well, the Winslows come home with the trophy, and they say there's a new winner in town. It's a very brief thing.
Okay. I missed it. I'll be honest. I was probably looking at TikTok or something.
How dare you not have your full attention on this masterpiece?
This 2015 movie? I mean, come on. I've seen it before. But it gives Blossom and Michael a chance to like really like go deep down and like have a serious conversation. And he's like telling her like the excitement of the relationship has worn off. And like they debate like what makes a good relationship, like what would he feel like in a good relationship? And basically he tells her like, I think that they should have chemistry and like, that Blossom deserves to have like a fairy tale romance because she's such a good person and she went out of her way to get the in for him and they almost kiss, but they don't.
That's right.
Man, things are escalating quickly.
Well, when you're in Montana.
Yeah, there's not much.
That's the Montana magnet. That's what they call it. The Montana magnet. It attracts people together.
So the dance marathon and the magnet.
That's exactly
those
right.
Those are the two Montana things I got magnet. Going for them.
No doubt.
Yes. So they separate from their almost kiss and they're freaking out. They get advice from, the old black people, that whole trope. Well, we hate that. But at least there was some backstory with the Winslows, and the Urkel of it all. So I'll give it like a C+. With the speeches. Like they were nice. Like there was some good advice. Like life can surprise you. Another thing of advice was loyalty is important, but it's not the same thing as faith and love.
Wow. A lot of, listen, Reginald Vell Johnson can give sage advice speeches better than just about anybody. I mean, we got to hear a truckload of them on Family Matters.
That's right.
Like, he can deliver that speech. I mean, like, he's a pro at it.
He's a pro. He is a pro. And he's also.
And you get that feeling watching it too. You're like, these actors know what they're doing. They're good.
And he's also.
They don't make him like they used to. They don't make
him. He's now a champion dancer. So.
He's a champion. He's got a trophy to back it up too.
So
Chad Michael Murray could never. Chad Michael Murray could never. Okay?
Could never. Accurate. Accurate.
That's accurate.
You hear that, Chad? We're throwing the gauntlet down.
Good luck. Good luck, Chad.
Good luck.
So Blossom and Michael practice their love speeches to each other, and Blossom she knocks over a briefcase and sees an engagement ring in Michael's bag, and she's like, oh no, he is gonna propose. So she's like, what am I doing? I'm breaking up a relationship. I gotta get out of here. And she runs off to the airport.
To be clear, quick, Patrick said they're practicing their love speeches to each other. They're like, we see they're in separate rooms. They're going to tell each other
that they're in love.
And so she's in the room and she accidentally knocks over the briefcase, sees the ring, and that's when she's like, oh, wow, he's really, this is real. And they never profess their love to each other.
Yeah.
That's right.
And this is a classic rom-com thing of the airport, which mm-hmm. I hadn't seen in a while because I think he's so cliche that they stopped doing it. But it was nice to revisit that and be like, oh, I love that. Because they're like in the TSA security line, which no one's in for some reason. And Michael's like, oh, wait, Blossom. And she's like, have a great life. Like, I shouldn't have said, I stepped out of bounds. Like, I shouldn't have said anything. He fumbles his like speech to her. And basically she boards her flight and like leaves.
Wow.
Boom.
Man, I thought that first flight they took together was going to be the flight before Christmas that the whole movie was based on, but there's more flights.
There's more flights. More flights.
Wow.
Yeah. So Blossom goes. She's reunited with her family. We get a montage of them enjoying the holidays. Intercut. This is the best. Intercut with Michael breaking up with Courtney. Very good. Like, it's like Blossom is like cutting the turkey. Michael is like Courtney. He's like running around crying and screaming at him, you know?
It is a fascinating montage of
classic.
Like, we are both spending Christmas the exact same way. And here's the way that we can tell you. And, but one was a little bit more exciting and sad and awful. And the other one was just very like, oh, we celebrated the holiday.
We did.
And it was swell.
Yeah, and it's like montage. It's like the same holiday-y music.
Happy that Christmas.
Yeah, it was great. It was good storytelling. You know, they were running out of time. They didn't want to like. We didn't hear anything about the breakup. We just saw them like talking and looking sad. So funny. So good. Best montage I've seen in a while.
It was really. Good.
So we head back to LA. Blossom is like. Moping around, Michael's moping around. It's that weird time between Christmas and New Year's where days don't matter.
Yeah.
And they get invited, of course, to the same New Year's party.
Oh,
and they
God.
Run into each other.
Hell.
Yeah. And Michael admits that he's been like trying to find Blossom to ask her out on a date. And they count down to the New Year and they kiss. And the thing about the kiss here is like, get that girl an apple box because she is so short and he is so tall.
Yeah.
It was a very weird, leany kiss. Then the real Santa is there and he like winks at them and he like watches them kiss and he nods at them while they're kissing. He's like, yeah, you get it. You get that kiss.
And I like to think that this was
That's
Santa's.
That's one of the creepiest Santas I've ever
I
heard
like
in
to
my
think
life.
That this was Santa's New Year's Eve party. That he I think he was throwing that
Yeah,
party.
You get it. You get that kiss.
You get that kiss. Yeah.
Santa was into it. And I mean, like, we should call Mrs. Claus and make sure she's okay because I don't think they have an open relationship.
Wow.
I don't know. Man. I don't know, but I would assume not.
You'd assume not with Santa. You'd assume not.
He travels around the whole world.
Come on, the timing of that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Come on, be better.
Yeah. Well, so you're listening. So yeah. I'm sorry. Santa's on the up and up always,
unless he's going down the chimney.
I also looked up, is the guy that plays Santa in the movie named Noel Nicholas? Is that what he calls himself?
Sure.
He's played by Brian Doyle Murray, which is a very big name. That guy's in Groundhog Day and Christmas Vacation. He's in some Hallmark movies too. He's a big deal, guys.
Okay.
Oh, well, but you know, when you tell me Santa, I believe you.
Yeah.
He said he was Caddyshack, Santa. Wayne's World. Like, dude is a legend.
Yeah, but is he Carl and Harriet from Family Matters? The answer is no.
He's probably a bigger deal than those two. He's fifth on the call sheet, though, based on this.
Bigger than Carl and Harriet.
Can I tell you a short Groundhog's Day anecdote?
I would love to hear one, Patrick.
So, you know the saying, like, it's like Groundhog's Day up in here or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
That classic saying.
It's like Groundhog's Day up in here. Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
Well, I said that at work the other day, and I work with Gen Zers.
Yeah.
And they didn't really, I was like, do you know why I just said that? And they were like, no, it's just like a thing people say. I'm like the movie Groundhog's Day. They're like, nope, never seen it. I'm like, dang.
Man.
They don't know.
Old people, am I right? Sheesh. Yeah.
Made me feel old.
How in the world does Gen Z just live their lives?
Gen Z more like Gen
Zero.
Zero.
Got him.
We did it. We figured it out. And that's the movie, Fly Before Christmas.
Wow.
Oh, it is. Yes. That's it.
Santa likes what he's seeing, and that's the end of the movie. All right.
It ends real weird. Yeah. All right. Mm. That's what I'm talking about. Patrick, what is pour it up, put a cork in it?
How do you not know
yes.
this?
So now we're going to pour it up or put a cork in it. I guess we'll start.
4 years.
I never remember who goes first, but
I go first.
Dan goes first because he didn't see it. There you go.
You guys both. I'm worried about your
memories. I always forget if it's pour it up or pour up. Like I'm pouring it out for my homie.
Yeah.
That's why
it's a monthly thing. You know, we got to like get back in the groove.
Yeah. So this is a tough one here because it sounds god awful. Just really, really bad. My MBAlec and Ryan McPartland don't do much for me. But on the other side of that coin, Carl, Harriet, and Brian Doyle Murray, all of which have a lot of like sage wisdom and advice and can give great speeches. And so I'm torn here.
To be clear, Santa doesn't give any real speeches.
Okay, whatever the case may be, I can't put a cork in a movie where Carl is giving speeches.
Sure.
That's where I am. This movie sounds terrible, but Uncle Carl is out there giving speeches. I just can't not have Carl Winslow give a speech. I got to pour it up. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know, I had a tough time with the fact that Santa is ruining relationships. Like he's pulling all of the strings to break people up.
Yeah.
Because he sees two strangers that he thinks would be better together. But it's also for that reason that I'm going to pour this movie up. I love a good strangers that end up meeting and then hating each other and then turning into love on the road, stranded somewhere. So big fan of that. This movie was wild. There were a lot of things I just didn't see coming and it just kept happening. And also montage of the century, towards the end of this movie. So lots of things that I had a blast with. I don't love the way that Santa did what he did. And I didn't like how much he enjoyed it.
We can't question his methods.
That's exactly right. And are we to say like, of course the guy is going to be happier with the girl than the ex in Boston. Like the ex in Boston was miserable. Like we get it, but I didn't like it. It made me feel a little bit icky. But that's Santa for you sometimes. So overall pouring it up. And that's the way that I feel. Patrick.
Yes. He sees you when you're sleeping and he breaks up your relationship. So there you go.
You know, the
classic
song.
It's just the lyrics. I didn't change them. This movie, let's think about it from a 2015 brain. Why it's a lifetime classic. I think it's because it sticks with like very lifetime themes. It's not afraid to be like, yes, we're having a relationship breakup and have that relationship be not so great. And for the time of 2015, all this stuff is pretty like not par for the course yet. Like the Hallmarkness of it all with the the kind of tropes that we have fallen into. This is all kind of fair game at this point in time. So you got to give it up for that. This is Blossom's only Moulin Blahnik. Her only movie.
Manolo
Blahnik. It's her only Christmas movie that she's ever done. She produced it. I think she was wise to get out of that track. You know, she didn't. It's kind of like the faded TV star of yesteryear coming in, and she was like, "I tried it. It was not for me. I'm gonna move on to host Jeopardy in 20 years or whatever. It's not 20 years. Six years.
Yeah.
I don't know math. But yeah,
somewhere in between 7 and 20.
Right. But I think it was a good attempt. She's not necessarily my favorite leading lady, but the material was well written, and I thought it was a fun movie to check out if you can.
It's a triple board up. It's a triple board up. Hey, we did it.
I look forward to the day on Jeopardy where she says, leading lady in the 2015 Lifetime movie, The Flight Before Christmas. And Patrick has to buzz in and say,
"Who is Melanis and Mom Belanis?"
Oh God, yeah, I'd be like, "Do I have to spell this correctly on the little pad?
You? Who is you?
Who's you? Who's you?
Who is you?
Who is you?"
Exactly right.
That's my next song.
We did it, everybody. That's exactly right. Who is you?
Who's Blossom?
What a blast this was, and what a blast it's going to be next month when we do it all over again live in front of an audience at Bramble Fest. You're not going to want to miss that here in Greenville, South Carolina. Deckthehallmark.com/fest. Patrick, thank you, buddy, for joining us. Dan, thank you for doing nothing. But
you're welcome. How dare you?
You were here, and that's half the battle.
Had you told me, Carl,
good listener.
Had you told me Carl and Harriet were in the movie, I'd have watched it with you. I'd have broken the rules.
You can't break the rules.
I would have. For Carl and Harriet, I would have.
Fair. Patrick, anything before we depart?
I don't know. Christmas in July was pretty fun this year, right? I think they were not that bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Passable.
More than fair. More new movies for next year, July, would be wonderful. Let's do four weeks.
It's a ratings win for Hallmark. I don't know why they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
I'd say. Yeah. Anywho,
and get to knock them out of the way. Get them out of the way now.
No, yeah. They'll do more.
I don't need 40 at Christmas.
That's a pipe dream. You're still going to get 40. They're going to add on. They're not going to like disperse them more equally. That's ridiculous.
That'd be silly. Okay. Fair.
Until next time, I'm the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.